Good evening, I'm Danielle Woods, welcoming you to this live event, and I'd like to thank everyone for taking some time to join us tonight. This evening, Senator Art Haywood of the 4th Senatorial District will be taking your calls and questions on scam alerts and prevention. Senator Haywood will be joined by David Shallcross, the Director of Senior Protection with the Pennsylvania Attorney General's Office. As a reminder, and we will repeat this throughout the night, if you would like to ask a question this evening, please press *3 on your keypad to participate. Again, that is *3 on your keypad to participate. So without any further delay, allow me to welcome State Senator Art Haywood.
Thank you, Danielle. Good evening, everyone. This is State Senator Art Haywood. Welcome to this telephone town hall for all of my neighbors. I'd like to thank everyone who's taking time out of their busy schedule for participating on tonight's call. Whether you ask a question or just prefer to listen to the conversation, I appreciate your engagement. If you'd like to ask a question at any time during tonight's discussion, press *3 on your phone. As Danielle said earlier, tonight we will spend an hour discussing scam alerts and prevention. Along with my guests, we will discuss ways to keep a watchful eye on scams and ways to prevent you from becoming another victim. To join me in this discussion, I'd like to welcome my special guest, David Shallcross, who is Director of Senior Protection with the Pennsylvania Attorney General's Office. Good evening, David. Please share something about yourself and overview on scams that are happening now.
Well, thank you very much, Senator. I greatly appreciate the opportunity to join you this evening on your teletown hall. And on behalf of our Attorney General, Michelle Henry, we thank your listeners for tuning in today to learn some vital information to protect themselves from fraud and scams. You know, I've been with the office now 15 years, and you always think you've heard them all, right, Senator? But there's always a new one and another twist on the scam, so it's something that we always need to refresh on. So that's why tonight is so important that you're hosting this event, and we thank you to do that. Now, I'm not an attorney for the office, but I've been in law enforcement my whole career, and I have over 40 years of public service. So I've seen a few things, and sadly, they continue to develop and increase, and that's why we're going to be talking for the next hour about scams and scam prevention. And I think it's the holiday season, and people think people are starting to relax and things slow down a little bit. Not for the criminals. Senator, these folks are ramping it up. They're working overtime, you might say. And one of the scams that we see a lot of right around this time of year is the fake delivery confirmation scam, shipping notifications. A lot of us are ordering online or expecting packages and deliveries in the mail and from other carriers like UPS, FedEx, the Postal Service, and so on. So when you get that text message, yep, that's right, scammers are texting, they're going to email, they're going to call you, they're going to reach out any way they can. They're going to advise you perhaps that, hey, we attempted to make that delivery and we're unsuccessful. And guess what they want you to do next? They want you to click a link. Right? Links are often in blue letters and underlined in your electronic messaging. Never click a link until you can confirm who sent it and why. Clicking a link randomly, because maybe you are expecting a package, you might trigger viruses and spyware onto your device and your network. Now, some scammers are really tricky, Senator. They're going to add a second choice. If you have not ordered a delivery, click here to report this as fraud. It's the scammer telling you to report them, but it's not going to go to a law enforcement agency or anyone of any value to do anything about it. It's the second trigger for those viruses. And I think that's very important today. And the answer to all this is simple. Go, if you have a package being expected, go to your email confirmation message on the date that you ordered it and find out where the real customer service contacts are. Some other things that are definitely coming up around this time is sob stories and charitable appeals. You know, I know definitely in my family, we've always thought about others in need, especially at the holidays. There's families that are going through terrible tragedies in our community. There's disasters around the world. There's wars that are being erupted for no reason. There's so much going on. And we see the commercials, the animals that are in need, children's hospital looking for assistance, our veterans who serve proudly and need help, our police associations, firefighters fund. Boy, I can go on and on. And then there's all the big ones, Salvation Army, United Way, American Red Cross. How do you know if that's who you're talking to? How do you identify if that's a real charitable organization asking for your help? Or could it be a scammer who's imitating those real needs, those organizations that are there to help? It's very hard because we want to help, but we also don't want to get ripped off, right? And I think your constituents will agree with me. That's a real challenge. Maybe we have a little extra money. We do want to help somebody. So here's some great tips. First thing you want to do is never give simply because you've been asked. Verify before you comply and send any money. You want to know more about the person contacting you. Again, whether it's by mail. How many folks get those address labels in the mail, right? I get so many, I could wallpaper my living room. That doesn't guarantee it's a real charity. It's a phone call. It might sound like a real charity, very professional delivery. That doesn't guarantee it either. Emails, text messages, and now we have what? GoFundMe and these other type of electronic appeals on social media and in our chats. I always stop and think. How could I find the true contact information for these charities? And number one is you can contact Senator Haywood's office, and they can put you in touch with our Pennsylvania Department of State Bureau of Charities, and they can talk to you about what the rules are for charities and how they should be contacting you. And they have to register with the state. The Senator Haywood's staff is going to be available to help assist you with contacting that state office. But also, simply go online and check things like CharityNavigator.org, CharityWatch.org, the Better Business Bureau. Even AARP will have articles and information about charitable giving. Do some homework. And what I do at my house, my wife and I support a few charities every year. We feel it's important to give back and help others. But we do our homework. I will contact the charity's main contact address and phone number and ask for a financial report, information on what share of my contribution goes directly to the cause. Then I make my choice, and I send them a check directly from my checkbook to their address. Because a lot of charities will use a marketing company, a third party, to make the calls, to post those social media posts, to send the letter and the address stickers and bookmarks in the mail. Well, when they are being used to do those things and facilitate the request, they get a large sum out of that as a commission. They may, in some cases, take more than half of the donation on commission. So we don't want to do that either. We want to give directly and know that the money is going to a good cause. You know, these are the kind of things that we often hear about during the holiday season. But it's not just these. We have situations that will erupt and come through all year. And as we go into the new year, they're not going to get less. They're going to be increased because scammers are making money. One thing that triggers people quickly to give money is a family member or friend in need, the family in distress call. And if you're an older adult, we often refer to that as the grandparent scam, Senator. I'm sure you've heard complaints in your office where folks mm-hmm. have been contacted if they thought it might have been their grandchild. These calls alarm us. I mean, if your grandkids, we all love our grandkids, or your family member, your sister, your brother, your son, your daughter, niece and nephew, we get the call. They're in need. They're having an emergency. Maybe they're at the hospital in the emergency room. They've had a car accident. They caused the accident. The other people do not have insurance, and if they don't pay their medical bills, they're going to be arrested. So they need money right away. Another version of this is that they're in jail. That's upsetting and alarming. We need bail money. And I'll tell you something that makes it so difficult. First off, your emotions take over. They kick in, right? It's your family. What do I have to do? And then we respond with the name of who we think it is. Jimmy, is that you? How did this happen? Well, you've just provided information to the scammer. They're going to be Jimmy now because you gave up a name. And alarmingly, in a lot of cases, the scammer already knows the name of your family member. And they're providing it from the beginning to make it even more believable. And now we have new technology, Senator, artificial intelligence. And I know that the folks at Capitol Hill are talking about artificial intelligence. And what do we need to be doing about it? Artificial intelligence, in a nutshell, AI as they refer to it, is how the computer can mimic human conversation. It can type letters. It can write programs. Well, it can also steal and repeat a text message or a script that's been typed in the voice of your loved one. If your family member, your son, your niece, your nephew is online and posts a video of anything and their voice is there, it can be captured. And then that story of, I'm in trouble, I need your help, it is Jimmy's voice because it was taken from artificial intelligence. They also have advanced to a point where they can take video and steal the face of our family members with the voice. And that's alarming. Please don't panic. I often tell folks that call in with this complaint to the Attorney General, I say, listen, we have to pause and think, put our emotions in check, take a deep breath, count to five, say, I have to call you back, and then to verify, simply call your family and ask, where's Jimmy? Oh, he's right here on the sofa. He's watching the Eagles play. He's not in prison in Tijuana. No, Mom, what are you talking about? That's a great phone call. That means everyone's home safe, Senator. And that person didn't send the $10,000 they were asked for bail or some other purpose to pay some medical bill. You know, it's alarming. I mean, the things that are going on, that's why we need these kind of conversations. And I'm so glad that you were able to provide this time tonight. A few more things that we could talk about. Gift card scams. And again, at the holidays, we use those as gifts, right? What they're intended for. But we could get ripped off. I think it's a good tip to mention to everybody, if you're going to be purchasing gift cards to give to our families and friends, that we want to make sure that they're not tampered with right on the rack. This happens quite often, and the scammers will send someone into the stores where these cards are on an open display where anyone can go up and reach the card off the rack. They are able to peel the cardboard backing up gently. They warm it up a little bit. Sometimes they'll even take the cards, leave the store with them, do this at home, and bring them back the next day and put them back on the rack. Once they've loosened that glue and opened the back, they have access to the coding. The gift card will be loaded by being scanned at the register. Once it's loaded, you need that secret coding on the back of the card to go online and verify the amount. Well, that's exactly what the scammer's going to do. They're waiting for you to load your cash, your hard-earned money, onto the card, and they're sitting in front of a computer just checking these numbers all day. When that number sees that it has money on it, it now has value, they go online shopping and use your gift card. You put it in the envelope, give it to your family member, your friend. They might not use it for 4 months, 5 months. And guess what? When they get to the register, there's zero balance left. It was beat before you even gave it to them. So a few quick tips. How do we avoid this? We don't want to have a dead gift card to handle a family member or friend. Do not buy the cards that look like they may have been tampered with. If the cardboard looks like the seal isn't quite right or not straight, if it's crooked, if it looks like it was bent and maybe manipulated in some way, pass on that. If the tape that covers the security coating on the back, Senator, if that looks like it's been removed or replaced, do not use that card. Do not purchase that card. Turn it over to the store manager. Let them know that you feel that it may have been tampered with. When you can, order your gift cards from behind the counter where the clerk needs to retrieve them. Go to restaurants instead of going to the department stores and the retailers that have the big racks. If you want a gift card for one particular restaurant, stop in at that restaurant's hostess stand and order it from them. You could also order e-gift cards online today, and that way there's no chance for anyone to have tampered with it as long as you're at the legitimate website. Oh, and one other thing about gift cards, if I may. Gift cards are for gifts, not for payments. And I'm sure that, Senator, you're seeing these complaints. I know our offices, our Bureau of Consumer Protection, is hit with these constantly, where scammers are telling people they need to make a payment of some type, and it's required to be paid with a gift card. Remember the family member in emergency situation in distress? Jimmy, oh, I'm in jail. I need bail. It has to be on an iTunes gift card. No prison that I'm aware of accepts gift cards for bail money. Our court system does not accept gift cards for payment of fines or warrants. If you're being directed that you must pay in a gift card, that is a huge red flag, and I'm sure, Senator, that people are starting now to think, you know, I've heard of this, because it's all across the nation. It's here in our Philadelphia region. It's in our Pittsburgh region. It's across the entire Commonwealth and all over the country. This is a huge problem. Gift cards are for gifts. Anyone directing you to pay someone with a gift card, that should be a red flag. When we're talking about some of these scams that are going on, and again, not just for the holidays. These are all the time. These things are occurring. If you're going to be answering your telephone, here's a problem. You have no control over who is dialing you. I often say, we're not in control of the actions of others. We're only in control of our reaction, Senator. And I think you'll agree with me when I say our best reaction is to pause and think before we act. That's the advice. Don't pick up the phone because it's ringing. Look at your caller ID, and I certainly hope that most people have a caller ID by now because it can be helpful, but it cannot be trusted. So I want to really emphasize it's helpful, but not to be trusted. If it says it's Aunt Susie on the phone, it might be your aunt, and she might be calling. But if it says anything else, if it just says Philadelphia, or it just shows a number, or maybe it's showing an official government office, anyone else's name, my rule is, if the caller is unknown, you leave it alone. Do not answer any call that's not someone that you've entered into your contact list. If you see a name that matches exactly how you've entered it in your phone contact list, good chance that's who you're going to be talking with. Anything else, including your very own phone number, Senator, I've had people tell me that, oh my gosh, I see my own number. Well, you didn't call yourself, right? So there's no need to answer these calls. Even if it says City Hall, I'm telling folks not to answer that. Let it go to your message machine, your voicemail. Let's hear what they're calling about before we pick up the line. Let's verify, was that the true number for City Hall? Is that the true number for the Philadelphia Gas Works? Is that the electric company? Is it my neighbor? If it's important, they will be comfortable leaving you a message, and you can return calls with the number you have already saved. But if it's not, they're probably going to hang up. And that's okay, too. That means there was nothing there to talk about. Scammers will often use robo-dialers. And these are the computers. Again, we talked about a little artificial intelligence. They will manipulate numbers until it rings. They will just constantly add numbers in sequence until someone's phone rings. So a lot of these contacts are random, and they may not know who you are when they call you. Others, they may buy a marketing list and know your name and address when they call you. And that can be very believable. You know, when folks are doing what we call imposter scams, it's hard to not understand that it may not be an actual government official or the bank or the credit card company. And I'm going to give some examples of these type of calls because I want everyone to really understand how dangerous it is to answer your phone today. I mean, to me, that's the number one weapon in your house to deprive you of your funds, to steal your money. That phone rings and you look over, and I had someone just have this happen about 6 months ago. They saw the name of their own bank on the phone. When they saw the name of their bank, and in this particular incident for this person, this gentleman, it happened to be Wells Fargo, and I'm not saying Wells Fargo did anything wrong. It wasn't the bank on the phone. It was an imposter scammer. But they used the name Wells Fargo on caller ID. And again, the computer can manipulate the caller ID information to fool you. Not only did it say Wells Fargo, Senator Haywood, but it also had the real customer service number displayed for Wells Fargo Bank. And that's why this gentleman told me, he goes, you know, I wasn't going to answer it, but I recognized the customer service number was the correct number, so I picked up because I banked with them. Would you know it? They told him that it was Wells Fargo Bank security on the line, and they had to report to him that someone attempted to hack his bank account. Oh, this gentleman was very upset when he heard that. He thought he lost his money. Well, the caller told him that they were able to stop it and contain it, that he has no loss financially. But what the bank is doing, for we have a lot of these complaints, they told him, and it's under current investigation. What we'd like you to do as our customers, we'd like to have you move your money to a new secured account that we set up for you. And they gave him some account numbers and advised him to move his money right away, but not to tell anyone at the branch because it could be a bank employee involved in this scheme. This poor man went to the bank the very next day, moved his money to this new account, and realized very quickly the mistake that he made was he just transferred all his money to a bank account to an unknown person in Hong Kong. $88,000 gone that he cannot recover. Now, often these actors are international. They're going to be outside the United States. They're going to be outside of our jurisdiction at the Office of Attorney General. They're going to be outside the federal agency's jurisdiction, our FBI associates, our friends in the Secret Service, U.S. Postal Inspectors. They all work together with us when we have these complaints, but often jurisdictional issues will be a problem. There's nothing we can do for this man. We can't get his money back. And it was obviously not Wells Fargo that he was working with. The scammers were very well rehearsed and very believable. That's why I often say, don't answer that phone. Let them leave a message and then use your real contact for customer service. And luckily, it's on every monthly bank statement that you receive. So if someone is calling from your financial institution, your bank, your credit union, hey, go get last month's statement because it's going to have the customer service contact that you can dial directly and speak to their customer service.
Wow.
Even your credit card. It's on the back, Senator, right?
Unbelievable. Hey, Dave, let's get to the callers. You have provided some tremendous information. Let's get some callers. I'm sure they're going to ask some follow-up questions.
Sure.
And if we have time at the end, you can add a few more examples. But this is tremendous information. Can't thank you enough for providing these alerts. But if for anyone who is listening, we are ready to take your questions. Press star 3 on your phone keypad. Star 3 to ask a question. Danielle, do we have some folks who have questions on the line?
Yes, we do, Senator. And let's start off with Juanita. Juanita, you are live with the Senator and his guest.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. This has been so helpful and informative. Thank you. I'm so glad I joined, and I'm going to tell some of my neighbors who weren't able to join. My question was about the mailbox vandalism that happened last year. I'm not sure if this is going on this year, where right in front of the post office in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on Germantown Avenue, there's a mailbox, and vandals broke into that mailbox and took checks selectively, and I don't know what they call it, whitewashing or walking
yes,
the
yes.
Is that what it is? Uh-huh. Is that still going on?
That is unfortunately still going on. That's correct. And your information is right on target. You must have a great news source because you are right on. And sadly, I was with the U.S. Postal Inspectors just a few weeks ago, and they told me that the best thing that everyone can do at this time is not to be utilizing the blue collection boxes that are out in public settings, including outside the post office, right? You want to take any type of mail that you're going to be sending, and at the holidays, I'm sure everyone's got their greeting cards already in the mail. Hopefully, we're not sending gift cards within those envelopes. The scammers and the thieves will bend and steal the gift, the holiday card to see if there's a gift card inside and steal those as well. But go inside a post office location. You have to go inside and use that wall slot to drop your mail if you want it to be secure. Anything outside is unsecured and not guaranteed. You know, postal workers have been assaulted and their keys have been stolen so they can get into the mailboxes. And washing the checks, so they use household chemicals to bleach off. You know, your $150 check can become $1,500. The payee name can be changed, and they have fake ID to go in and cash these checks. One other quick tip that the postal inspector mentioned, which I think is good for all of our listeners, Senator, is if you are writing checks, use a gel ink pen. It bonds to the paper a little better than a ballpoint pen. So it's a little more difficult for the criminal to whitewash that and change that information. But, again, thinking ahead and going inside the post office, and if it's a family birthday card, a holiday card, anything like that, often I remind folks not to use the fancy card shop envelope. Put your card in that and then take that and put it into another outer envelope. I use those large brown vanilla envelopes that look like a business mailing. That's how we send our greeting cards to families that are out of town. If we have a couple people that we want to send something to, we put them in these large envelopes. That way it looks like a business mailer. It doesn't look like there's going to be holiday greeting cards and gift cards inside, sir.
Wow.
Thank you, Wanda.
Thanks so much. Yeah, Wanda, thanks so much. Let's get another caller.
Yeah, and Senator, before we get to that next caller, I do again want to remind folks to press *3 if they have a question. And for Juanita and everyone listening, we will be posting this recording of the telephone town hall on the Senator's website. So if, you know, you want a friend to hear some of these great tips tonight, you can definitely check out the Senator's website for that. Okay, so let's go to our next caller. We have Margie from Germantown. Margie, you are live with the Senator and his guest.
Oh, okay, thank you. I just wanted to make the statement regarding the Wells Fargo. They do leave a number that is a customer service Wells Fargo number. Please do not call that back because that links right back to the scammers. I used a separate phone to call Wells Fargo Bank while this other person was giving me this information. I didn't call back, but they say it's definitely Wells Fargo a scam. And also, the Microsoft is calling and telling people about their computers having a virus. Microsoft will never call you on the phone. So and I just thank Senator Hayward for the information. It's excellent.
Thank you so much. Thanks, guys. We got a few more tips there. Thanks so much. Let's go to our next caller.
Margie's right on.
Thank you so much, Margie. Thank you so much.
I'm going to put Margie on the show with me next time. She did a great job.
That's fantastic. Let's go to the next caller.
Okay, let's go to Jane. Jane in Germantown, you are live with the Senator and his guest.
Yes, I've been struck by scammers using Facebook. Three or four times in the past 6 years, I've ordered things and never gotten them. And I'm wondering if you have any recognition of the degree of scamming like that on Facebook.
Thank you.
Yes, Jane, that is also a very large problem. And again, it ramps up at the holiday time when people are gift shopping and looking for things. And what we call that is deceptive sales ads on social media because social media is a great way to reach out to a large number of people at very low cost. So a lot of real businesses use that, but so do the scammers. You cannot verify an ad through social media when you're trying to order something. A lot of times they're harvesting your credit card number and there will be no product coming in the mail at all. So our tip is very simple. If you see the item you like on social media, do not click on it or order it there. Go to another site that you independently have chosen and typed in to a legitimate retailer that you know and trust and order the same item from them directly.
All right. Thank you, Jane. Danielle, do we have another caller?
Yeah, let's go to Doris in West Oak Lane. Doris, you are live.
Hi. Thank you so much for being there and giving us this here valuable information. And what I'd like to know is that when you get calls from the police and fire department asking for you to buy something or to give a donation, is that a legitimate operation? And also, the people that come at your house at night wanting you to get your electric bill so they can give you information, what is the comment on them?
Very good. Let's handle one thing at a time. We're going to talk about those police and fire appeal calls, contacting for a donation, right? So briefly and simply, it is not the police department or the fire department. Nonprofit organizations that support those professions, such as the Fraternal Order of Police, the Firefighters Union. Those are the type of organizations that should be reaching out for a donation. But again, you can't verify who they are while you're on the line with them. So what I say is, if you're interested in supporting our public servants and their organizations that support them and their families, that you go and directly contact those organizations outside of those phone calls and appeals. So you want to find out, how do I get in touch with the Fraternal Order of Police? How do I get in touch with the Police Benevolent Association? How do I reach the firefighters' local union hall? And they will instruct you the proper way to make your donation so you know it's going to count and help those folks out. Second question was about the electricity bill slammers. We call them slammers. These folks will come to your door. They will ring your bell. They will call you on the phone, too, as well. And they're going to be asking you questions, and they're going to pretend to sound like they might be your current electric service provider, but they're not. You know, PECO is not going to be coming around talking to you about your electric bill. That's just not going to happen. If you have a question about your electric bill, they're going to have you call customer service. And if they have a question for you, you'll get a mailer that explains what the issue might be and how to reach them. The people that are calling you and showing up on your doorstep asking to see your electric bill, and big no-no, do not share your electric bill information with any of these folks. Do not give out your account number, because they use that account number to then change your electric provider to another third-party electric company, and you're going to be double billed later. So unless you've made that decision to change electric providers and understand how that works with independent electric providers, do not give out the account number or show anyone your bill that's showing up unannounced that you do not know, because that's going to be a scam where they're going to move your electric services to another company.
Wow. This is a conversation on scam prevention and alerts, and we have received much tremendous advice on scam prevention. Danielle, do we have some more callers?
We sure do. And again, a reminder, if you want to ask a question, please press star 3. Again, that's star 3 to get your question asked. Let's go to Bernice in Abington. Bernice, you are live with the senator and his guest.
Hi. How are you guys? Thank you so much for the information. It has been very helpful. I have had many calls, and I have taken your advice looking at, you know, to see who the call is from. If I don't recognize it, I don't pick up. And if they don't leave a message, then it wasn't important. My question is, in 2021, I received a credit in the form of a gift card for $139 from an online retailer. Last month, I decided to purchase an item using that gift card. When I inserted it online, it said that the credit card only had, I mean, the gift card only had a balance of $40. Now, no one has access to my laptop. And the guy, the customer service support guy, said that he gave me the name of the person who used this gift card, which I did not recognize. So I told him, I said, I don't recognize it. Don't you have, I mean, you gave me a PIN number and a number. So how does that happen? Is it someone in your, you know, company who has access to it? And the funny thing about it is the gift card was used a couple of months ago. Okay? So what they did was they gave me another gift card for $139, but the information, the item that I ordered was damaged. I returned it, and now I'm fighting with them to get that $139 back.
Okay.
David, what do you think?
Yeah, Senator, I'll tell you what. This is the kind of thing that happens when there's a couple of opportunities for someone to have that access to that information. And one is what the caller just said. Maybe it's someone from within the company. That could definitely possibly be the answer to that issue. The other is maybe her email was compromised and she's unaware. So the first thing I'm going to tell you is you want to have your computer checked for intrusion. Go to a trusted computer repair service provider. Have them check your electronic email and your computer for any intrusion software, spyware. Because if someone was able to read your email, they would get the same coding and message that you received when you received that gift card, and they simply are copying it and were able to access it. The other issue, if you're having a problem with that retailer, I'd really encourage you to make the file of a complaint with the Office of Attorney General, our Bureau of Consumer Protection. I'm going to give you the phone number. It's 1-800-441-2555. That's 1-800-441-2555. And we're online at www.attorneygeneral.gov. There's a white box in the top right of the homepage that says File Complaint. Hit that and go down to consumer complaints. And I would love to have you do that so we could try to assist you in recovering that $139 gift card.
Wow. Thank you so much, David. Thank you so much, Bernice. Danielle, how are we doing for callers?
We want to go to Sheila. Sheila, you are live with the senator. Take it away.
Hi, I'm calling because I applied for a, I'm getting tongue-tied, I'm sorry, a flight attendant job and found that the one that I was going for wasn't accredited. So I stopped doing that and then found out a video online that said that this same school that I was supposedly attending said to this woman that she was too fat to be a flight attendant, and that's why she didn't get to be a flight attendant. And I stopped it. I just told them I wasn't going to continue with it because I didn't feel like I was going to be a flight attendant with this service, and I lost $699. 95, I believe it was, 695. And I've been trying to get the video that I saw to my bank, and I haven't been able to do that. And they're saying I gave them the money. It's not a scam, but it is a scam because, as I said, the lady who did the same schooling and the same classes that I did they guaranteed me a job, which I feel like they couldn't guarantee me a job, and that made me start looking.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure but I've been trying to.
Yeah, Sheila, you have a legitimate complaint. So first thing, just like I spoke with the last caller, I encourage you to file that complaint with our Office of Attorney General's Bureau of Consumer Protection, because you were paid money for a certification course with a guarantee of a job. First off, folks, everybody listening, not just Sheila, I want everyone to understand, when someone says the word guarantee, that's a red flag. A lot of things can really not be guaranteed. And if people are throwing the word guarantee around, really do your homework on it. But unfortunately, Sheila, if you've already sent that money in and you feel that you've been dishonestly spoke to about it, they're not honoring that guarantee of a job, and you feel that they are inappropriate in their conversations of discrimination over people that might be, in a different weight class, that's certainly filing a complaint would be the next move. So I encourage you to go to our website at www.attorneygeneral.gov and file a complaint against that flight attendant school so we can look into that, okay?
Wow. Thanks so much. These callers have some tremendous experiences, very challenging experiences. Daniel, let's keep going with the callers. It looks like we're providing some tremendous advice, and let's keep it going.
All right, let's keep it going. Let's go to Latrell in West Oak Lane. Latrell, you are live.
Hi. Just a notification to some of our seniors that have been hoodwinked like I have been, where I had they're with Josh Shapiro now, but MV Realtor came to the house, told me that they were going to advertise my house for $500. Would I be interested in just letting them advertise my house? Did not realize that I was being scammed for a refinance on my home for 40 years, not 30, and wasn't told ever that I was refinancing my home.
That's a scam.
We've had a lot of those.
They have a lot of senior citizens and low-income people that they're going around getting. Now they're filing bankruptcy.
Well, you could still file that complaint with our office, and we are attempting to make settlements for people. At least that's my last understanding. Last time I saw an alert through our office, we are receiving complaints on this exact thing. So I encourage you to get your complaint in as soon as possible. I don't know what the deadline was. I don't have that in front of me at the moment. But I would still encourage you to file the complaint form. A letter will come back to you advising you on where we're at with that matter. But that is well known to the office. Yes, we're aware of MV Realty.
Wow. I'm glad you, Phil, thank you for sharing that. And we'll try to share that as well with folks in the area so they know the slow down, and don't get involved with MV Realty. Wow, that's good to know.
Well, yeah.
Thank you.
I'll tell you,
thank
Senator,
you so
here's a great tip I always give people when it comes to contracts and advertising and any type of written material. The large print giveth and the small print taketh away. You have to read everything because that contract is not appropriate for that situation because they're guaranteeing that they have the right to sell your house for 40 years and no one else does, and that's really inappropriate in that type of a contract.
Yeah, that's definitely wrong. Thank you so much for alerting all of us to that. Okay, Danielle, let's keep it going.
Here we have a home renovation question related related question to ask. Let's go to Cindy from Mount Airy. Cindy, you are live.
Hi. I had a situation where roofers came to my door sort of as the sun was going down and said that they had seen that I have a hole in my roof. They said they saw it from a neighbor's roof they were working on, And could they go up there? They feel really awful about it. Could they go up there and just put some covering over that hole for the night, and then they would come back in the morning with an estimate for a roof job? And by the time I got the estimate, they had actually stripped off the existing roofing from my house. So I was kind of stuck. And I don't know if anybody else has heard about that. I was going to post it on the community list, but I kind of want to wait until I deal with them. But it was, I just was totally blindsided by it.
That's horrible. That's horrible. David, what can be done?
Again, we're going to need a written complaint form. First thing is, file a complaint with us, because that is fraudulent. They came to you, advised you of a condition that you had no knowledge of, and just for future reference, don't let anyone on your property or on the roof of your home or anything, because if they fall and get hurt, they're going to sue you. You know, we don't know if they're a legitimate business or not at that point when you're dealing with somebody who just shows up unannounced. I always say, if you have any question or concern about a home improvement or a roofing job, any work on your property, get 4 estimates from legitimate businesses. The Office of Attorney General has a registration program that all contractors must file and have a contractor number assigned through the Commonwealth. The Office of Attorney General manages the contractor registration website. And first off, we want to make sure they're a registered contractor. We want to make sure you have multiple quotes that you can compare the quality of the work, the quality of the materials, and what work needs to be done. And you never want to pay up front. So with the situation right now, they created a problem. They went up there probably with no problem on your roof, created a problem to put you in a position where you had no choice but to let them do the job and pay them. That's fraud.
Thank you, David. And for all those who have called in, where the advice has been to file a complaint with the Attorney General's office, I want to encourage you to contact my office. I'll leave the phone number, 215-242-8171. And my office can provide some assistance for each person who needs to file a complaint based upon the scams we're discussing tonight. 215-242-8171. My office will help you file a complaint. All right, Danielle, we're getting down to the last 10 minutes or so. Hope we can get a few more callers in.
Yes, we do have some more callers. And, you know, Senator, a lot of people feel hopeless during all the scams that are going around. But we want to go to Chester in Germantown because he has some good news to share on the scam front. Chester?
Good evening, Senator Haywood. Reverend Chester Williams calling. How are you?
Good. I hope you're feeling better.
I'm doing much better, thank God. Thank God. I wanted to thank you and your staff for helping me with a scam that a company kept to me and Bill about the, they had put a solar panel on my roof. And it went on and went on. It went so bad, they hand delivered to my letters telling me I had to pay this debt up. And the staff worked with me and with the Attorney General office and got them to send a letter about the, that I don't owe any money to them. So I wanted to thank y'all openly that your staff was a blessing to me to have this issue and someone else may have the same problem, that people are trying to tell you they put something on your roof and they never did. But they play on the intelligence of seniors because they know we can't go up on that roof. And I found that the issue is really hurting, that they, you trust people. But so that's why I want to thank y'all for that, because the other part of that, I've been having a problem with other people with Union Roofing. Union Roofing was on Channel 6 News, and they was really ripping off people saying they were doing work done and they never did. How do we stop Union Roofing when they were illegally doing stuff and still in business, doing people's roof and not doing the work? And people still have the problem with leaks in the house. How do you stop it, even though Channel 6 put it on TV, that they were the ones, people should not use them, because they had been through the Attorney General's office and all that. What can customers do or the publishers do? Because they should not be being advertised to do business when they rip the people off.
Right. Right.
And they
Pastor Williams. Thank you so much. And if, my office is available to help each of the individuals who have shared complaints about some of these home improvement scams and beyond. We're glad to provide the assistance that we can, and I'm glad it did work out in part for you, Pastor Williams. But this goes back to, it sounds like MV Realty is known, Union Roofing is known. What more can we do, David?
Well, Senator, first thing we need is, again, the more complaints that come in, the more action that the Attorney General can take, because we are not someone's individual attorney. We represent the Commonwealth. So when there's a pattern of behavior, as Reverend Williams spoke about, Union Roofing has multiple complaints. That's the key when we can take legal action and close their business. If we can get a court order to shut them down, they may be forbidden to be in this business at all under any name, if we can get them in front of a judge and get a settlement or a case to be completed and against them. In the civil courts under consumer protection, our office would take that action item. And we've had the local police and your district attorney's office go after them on the criminal side of home improvement fraud. So home improvement, the laws in Pennsylvania are two-sided. We have a civil complaint, which is our Bureau of Consumer Protection, and you can file fraud, which is a criminal complaint, with the local police.
Let me thank you again for sharing that, and let you know, David, and your Attorney General's office in general. My state senator's office is glad to cooperate in any kind of investigation to deal with these companies that have a long history of fraud. We may need to follow up with that after the call, but thank you so much. Danielle, I think we might be able to handle maybe two or three max more calls.
Okay.
What we got?
All right, let's go to Clarice in Germantown. Clarice, you are live.
Yes, good evening. I received a phone call several weeks ago, and the person on the line, they didn't know it was, they were calling for me, but they didn't know it was me. And they said, well, we want to leave a message for her. We want her to call. And they were giving a phone number and tell her to call. As I continued to inquire about it, he was saying, oh, you've been served. And I'm like, what? Being served for what? Oh, we don't have the information to tell you that, but you have to call this number. So the number that they were giving me was not a municipal number. And I was like, no, I'm not calling. And they were going to give me a case. I was like, no, don't give me anything, because if you're going to serve me, you're supposed to come to my door and serve me papers. And they were claiming that they had already been here, which they had not. And he said, well, how do you know? I said, have you heard of a ring? So, and it's, plus someone is here 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wasn't going to call. I did not call. I let him know I'm not taking a number and I'm not calling anybody. If you're going to serve me, you come here. But I guess I'm assuming, making me a little nervous now.
No, no, you're good. You're good, Clarence. Let me tell you. You are fine, because before I came to the Attorney General's office, I worked in Bucks County in the Sheriff's office for 20 plus years, and you cannot serve someone over the telephone. You cannot serve someone over the computer. Civil service must be done in person. So you are correct, and you have a ring camera. You know nobody was there. They're going to either serve you in person, and the only other, if that attempt has been exhausted, they can mail you a service, but no one can do it over the phone. That doesn't work So I wouldn't worry about this. It's a scam. They're trying to trick you into calling somebody, and then they're going to tell you you have to pay money to get out of trouble, and that's a scam all the way around. Matter of fact, in Bucks County, recently in the last 3 weeks, we've had a number of complaints of people being called, being told they have a court case they missed, and they have to post money or they're going to be arrested, and that's a scam.
Wow. Thank you so much, Clarice. Let's see if we can get a few more callers in.
So I'm going to actually read a question just to get it out quickly. Joy asks, or she says, I cannot get any help for my husband who has had a stroke. I get messages from agencies who say they can help, but I don't know if they're scammers. Basically, what do you think she should do?
So he is now disabled and has some limitations, and they're looking for some assistance. The first thing I would, are they seniors? Do we know? Are they over 60? In Pennsylvania, older adult is 60 and older. Do we know if that's their status?
Do not know that.
Well, I would contact the Philadelphia Corporation on Aging either way, just to see, because they can also provide other guidance and resources. The Philadelphia Corporation on Aging, known as PCA, is a organization that's there to assist folks that have issues and concern that need maybe in-home care services, waiver services. I happen to know the director there very well, and I would start with them as a opportunity for finding some resources to assist that family. And I think, Senator Haywood, I'm sure your office, if they come in and tell their story, you folks would be able to assist them as well and some other resources that might be available in the area.
Most definitely. And the PCA phone number is 215-765-9040. 215-765-9040. PCA has got some tremendous leadership and individuals working there. But you can certainly contact my office as well. I think this has got to be the last one, Danielle.
Okay. Real quickly, let's go to Ann in Glenside. Ann, you are live.
Good evening, everyone. Over the past 2 or 3 years, I have taken to using prepaid major credit cards rather than my actual credit card. So the prepaid cards you get from Visa, MasterCard, American Express, etc. Instead of using my regular credit or debit cards while shopping on the internet, particularly if it's a rather unknown or potentially dubious site. Now, is this a reasonable precaution to take on my part, or am I simply pretending that everything will be well because I think I'm doing something right?
Thank you so much, Ann. That's a fantastic question. What do you think, David?
And, well, that is a good maneuver because the first thing people need to do is, and exactly what you are doing, is to protect your accounts, right? The money you've worked hard for that you have in the bank is attached to your debit card. So, number one, never use your debit card online shopping because you're exposing that account. A major credit card is going to give you much more protection. Under federal law and regulations, you're only responsible for the first $50 of fraud on a major credit card. Most credit card services are going to waive that $50, and they're going to take care of all the fraud if it occurs. And that's not your money yet. That's the credit card's money. Now, you're somewhere in between. When you purchase a prepaid major credit card, you're going to take cash from your hard-earned account that you have the cash in and load it onto that card. You're limited in exposure. So if you only put $100 on the card and you buy an $85 item, you've limited your exposure. So that's a good idea. But a better idea would be to use a standard credit card that the credit card company, all their money is what's exposed, none of yours, because you don't have to pay that bill for 30 days. You can file a dispute and put that claim back, and then the credit card company faces the bad guy, not you.
Wow. This is our closing. I do want to give David, we almost hit 7 o'clock, but do you have any brief further advice you want to share before we round this out?
Yes, Senator.
Go ahead.
I just want to tell everybody really quick, some really quick points to make is don't answer your phone. Let it go to the voicemail and the answer machine and think about it before you act upon it. When in doubt, we check it out. Use those trusted numbers that you already have, your bank statement, your credit card statement, your TV bill, your cell phone bill, your gas bill. Everything has the customer service number. That's what you use to check things out. And lastly, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Anything that looks suspicious, a scam, an attempted scam, you can email us at scams@attorneygeneral.gov. And again, our Bureau of Consumer Protection phone number is 1-800-441-2555. Thank you so much, Senator, for having us on today on behalf of the Attorney General. I thank you for your time, and I wish everyone a blessed day and a happy holiday.
Yeah, this has been a great discussion. And again, David, I would like to thank you for joining us this evening. I'd like to thank you and all those who participated in our telephone town hall discussion, those who listened, those who asked questions, those who gave suggestions and their own experiences. I want to thank Juanita, Margie, Jane, Doris, Bernice, Sheila, Latrell, Cindy, Pastor Williams, Carice, Joy, and Ann, and all of those who listened in. Now, if you didn't have a chance to ask a question, please remain on the line. You will be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-242-8171. You can also visit my website at SenatorHayward.com. Happy holidays to all. Thank you again for joining us, and have a good night. Thank you again.